Hey, this is Stephen Curry from the Golden State Warriors, number 30. You listen to Drive Time Sports on KOAL 750 AM.
It's a big day in the NBA. Yeah, that moratorium, it's now been lifted, and we knew that we would get a trade immediately today. The Lakers pulling off a deal with Oklahoma City yesterday, bringing in Dennis Schroeder. It's a big deal for the Lakers. They finally have a point guard. I don't know if it's a long-term deal. I believe that's what the idea behind it is. There are some other dominoes that may fall, including what will happen in Houston. They move on from Russell Westbrook and James Harden. A lot of conversation surrounding the Rockets and, of course, the Utah Jazz as well. We'll bring in our next guest, Jameson Welsh. He is part of BasketballNews.com. We'll talk about his podcasting and everything that he does at BasketballNews.com in just a moment. Jameson, as always, first off, it's a pleasure. Thank you.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
And we'll start by talking about the Lakers and this move that came out yesterday. It's now official. Dennis Schroeder will be a Los Angeles Laker. It'll become official on Wednesday after the Lakers draft for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Nonetheless, the Lakers give up a first-round pick. They get Schroeder. They get rid of Danny Green. Dollar for dollar, this match is almost identical. For Oklahoma City, they now have a grip of draft picks over the next 6 years. It's something that they really, really want. I think it's something now they have, over 10 first-round picks over the next 6 years. And so when you look at this on paper, it appears to be a trade that both teams win.
Well, the Lakers win the trade because they get the better player. Like, that's how it always goes. Like, whenever you get the better player, and there's no, like, significant picks involved, and there's no lottery picks or anything like that involved, they won the trade. OKC still don't know what their long-term plan is, because you can draft you can have all those picks, but you can't draft all those guys. Not enough space on the roster. You can trade up and whatnot, but at the end of the day, you can only do so much with those picks. So I'm very curious to see what their long-term plan is. With the Lakers, we know that their window is the next 2 years. I mean, they've already won one championship. They have an opportunity to win a couple more in the next couple of years, and they are going to have a better overall team than they just did that just won it. So it's going to be very fascinating to see how they continue to build out their team as well. But they made a smart move. You know, we saw Danny Green in the playoffs. We saw him last season. It wasn't pretty. It was kind of rough, to be honest with you. It was very rough. If you see a guy that is 6'5 and supposed to be able to shoot 3 points at a high level, he wasn't doing that. He was wide open, missing a bunch of open threes. Lakers improved yesterday. The rest of the league should be very careful because they have an active GM that is really good at his job, and I think he doesn't get reported enough. But Rob Pelinka has done a great job with this roster, with this franchise, since he's taken over.
You mentioned the Lakers will have a better team next season. I believe that as well, but there's still some question marks surrounding the NBA champs. I don't believe Avery Bradley comes back. It looks like Rajon Rondo is now out of the picture. This trade, I think it kind of solidifies that, even though that was the thought process behind it the entire time. We don't know what's going to happen with KCP, who was brilliant for the Lakers in the playoffs. We don't know what's going to happen with Dwight Howard. They're going to have to find a way to move on from JaVale McGee. There's still a lot of work to be done in L.A., and Rob Pelinka, he's got a busy couple of weeks ahead of him, to say the least.
Yeah, very busy. And it's a situation where they have a lot of pressure on them because the two stars that they have, we know LeBron's getting up there in age, and Anthony Davis wants to be legendary. So with that being said, in order to be legendary, you got to make sure your roster is able to do legendary things. Now, their roster's already better by subtracting Danny Green and adding Dennis Schroeder. Now you got to add some more pieces that complement what you got. And also, here's another thing people got to understand as well. You got to keep the books clear for next offseason, because next offseason, you can add another max-level player such as a Bradley Beal, and you can have things go on for the rest of the decade if you play your cards right. So that's where they are as a team. That's the situation they're in. So that's what's going on with the Lakers. That's why a lot of people are saying that, hey, their team talent-wise is going to be more talented than it was this past year. Will it be better on court? That remains to be seen. But with Lakers, they have done things right, and the rest of the league kind of needs to study what they've done. They've built their team through a lot of the draft and a lot of the G League stuff. Of course, they signed LeBron at free agency and they traded for AD. But a lot of their draft picks and a lot of their free agent signings that were undrafted free agents, a lot of those has panned out. And it doesn't get enough attention how that goes. When you have enough stable in your stock for trades and development and whatnot, it makes your job a lot easier as an executive and as a team to fill out the bottom end of your roster, because we all know the starters are the starters, but to create depth, that is a lost art in this NBA, and we have a lot of teams that don't know what they're doing, and they continually let the bottom half of their roster be pretty bad because they don't develop their own talent.
Again, Jameson Welsh, our guest right now, as we talk about the NBA and the world champion Lakers already making a move right out of the gate. We saw last year they won a championship with patchwork. I mean, it was a band of misfits. When you take a look at the team front to back, there were some other names on there that I'd already mentioned, KCP being one of them. Also, Dwight Howard. These are guys that are hitting free agency. What does the market look like, especially fresh off of a COVID 2020 season that was completely plagued? We had the bubble. We had a lot of question marks going into it. But what does the market look like for guys like a Dwight Howard or a KCP right now?
Well, KCP is in his prime. He's a younger guy. He shoots the ball pretty well for what his position is. So he's going to see a market that probably pays him more than $8 million. And he's from Atlanta, or from the Atlanta area. The Atlanta Hawks have cap space. So it would not surprise me if they go after him. He's a guy that they can definitely use. He can fill a role. So it wouldn't surprise me if they make an offer that the Lakers can't match up with. Lakers probably want to re-up him for another year. I don't think the Lakers want to go too deep into the situation where it's multiple years, because they want to keep that cap space clean. So it would not surprise the Lakers offered him a big one-year deal, like a one-year $15 million deal. Wouldn't surprise me at that. But if another team comes along and gives him more security long-term, then that's what it is. And it's if that's the case, and the Lakers help rebound from the issue with the Detroit Pistons contract that was turned down a few years ago, and eventually made most of that money back, plus he was a Laker and won a ring. So it ends up all working out with Dwight. Dwight is still, in my opinion, a minimum guy. He's a backup big. He's an older guy. I don't think you pay that much for a backup big, but hey, crazy things have happened. Same thing with Rondo. Rondo's probably going to get a little bit more than a minimum, but at the end of the day, he's a minimum-type player. He gets hurt a lot. His regular season is not as great as you think. So if you're paying more than the minimum for those two, good luck to you.
Let's move on and talk about the Houston Rockets. This may be the most interesting team of the offseason. They have what I'll go ahead and call the second worst deal in the NBA right now with Russell Westbrook. I have to put it slightly above slightly behind John Wall just because, John Wall's coming off an Achilles injury, and that's a lot of money over the next 3 to 4 seasons. Yet they also have James Harden. And so when you take a look at these two pieces, it did not pan out. Daryl Morey is no longer there. Daryl Morey was very aggressive, and I think you have to give credit to Morey for being aggressive, yet at the same time, he was a tad bit reckless. I tip my hat to the Clint Capella trade. It wasn't going to work. They decided to try to really shake things up. It just didn't work out. And so at what point in time do the Houston Rockets look at the James Harden era and say, okay, it's time to move on? Because honestly, Jameson, and this was brought to my attention over the weekend, and yeah, there's some very eerily similar situations to the Harden era, to the T-Mac era. Both terrific scorers. It has not resulted into victories. Big difference in the T-Mac era, you had a big in Yao Ming. You had someone else to kind of pair him with. It doesn't matter who you pair James Harden with. It's not working in Houston.
Well, to all fairness to James Harden, he got to the conference finals twice. So that's a little bit different. They had their chances. They got to a game 7 of the conference finals, and T-Mac never sniffed that as the guy in Houston. So, got to give James a little bit more credit.
Yeah, but Jameson, when you say that, though, we've got to be fair to the situation with T-Mac as well. The Houston Rockets were ousted by the NBA champions. I believe 2 or 3 times they ran into T-Mac ran into the NBA champions fairly early. Right? There's context behind that.
Yeah, there is, but what Harden did in Houston with the roster they have, looking back on it, I don't want to speak in past tense because it's not really fair, because he's still an employee of the Rockets. But if you look at the 2015 season, they had Dwight there who was still okay, but the rest of that roster wasn't that great. Like, getting to the conference finals with that roster was an accomplishment. Then, of course, 2018, they have Chris Paul there, who was playing very well at the time. They're up 3-2 against the Warriors, and they just couldn't close it. Chris Paul gets hurt. The rest is history. They were never close again with that situation. James gets a lot of flack, but he's produced fairly well. But at the end of the day, that style of play, I think they may have had a different coach or a different philosophy. Things may have changed, but they went all in with the philosophy that just doesn't work. And that's the thing. But also, got to start talking about it. Who can really play with James Harden?
That's a good point. That's a good question.
Couldn't.
Yeah.
Chris Paul couldn't. Russell Westbrook is trying to get his own situation. Like, eventually, you got to look at the common denominator. And as good as James Harden is, as great of a scorer as he is, something's missing. So there's an issue there, and eventually it has to get addressed. And if it doesn't, he's going to get moved, and we'll see how this works out. But there's a lot going on in Houston right now. You got ownership issues, brand new coach, brand new GM. I'm very curious to see how they navigate through these waters.
Yeah, when I mentioned Russell Westbrook, James Harden's obviously going to be easier to move. There's no question about it. When you look at the trade market for Westbrook, I really don't know what's out there. I mean, honestly, again, the payroll thing is a big deal. And this is a guy that is under the he's locked up for a very long time. And again, the numbers just don't look good. I mean, going into 2021, it's $41 million. 2022, it'll be $43 million. And by the time we hit that 2023 season, it's a player option for $46 million, and he's not declining that. So which route do you go with Russell Westbrook if you want to move on from that experiment?
I try to get off that contract as quickly as possible. It's one of those things to where you got to get off that deal ASAP. You can't play any games. You can't get cute with that. If you have a way to get off that money, you get off of it immediately. Russell Westbrook, great player in his prime. His prime is now over. It is time to move on and do something different. With that being said, there's no way. There's absolutely no way I would trade for that contract. It is not going to end well. It will not. He gets hurt a lot. His style of play does not equal wins. It does not. So I'd be very, 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 very careful with messing with that contract. But I see a team like Orlando, like Charlotte, the Knicks. I see teams like that trading for it because he's a big name player, and you know some of those teams need a shot in the arm. But, man, I would stay far away from that contract. That contract is no good. I actually have more faith in John Wall becoming a, you know, getting back to somewhat of what he was rather than messing with Russ. I don't want any parts of Russ's contract at all.
Yeah, and when you mention teams like New York and Orlando, this is where the NBA differs from the NFL. Sometimes in the NFL, you have to overpay to create some sort of stability. We're talking about, you know, three different elements on the offensive side of the ball, three different elements on the defensive side of the ball. That's not necessarily the case in the NBA. I mean, if you overpay for a contract like Russell Westbrook, it could honestly deflate you for years to come. I'm with you. I could see a team like New York trying to make a move. It would be a very New York Knicks thing to do. I just don't know how you could build around that. I mean, it's so debilitating.
Right. And that's the thing. It really shows like where you're going to be at for the next few years, because the next couple of years, you can't really do anything with that. Now, the last year, when expiring contracts are always valuable because teams are always looking to cut, you know, cut down the tax and get down and whatnot. So that's always the situation. With that being said, I'll be very fascinated to see what happens with that, because that's Houston's problem. And the thing, the worst thing about Houston is they gave up like two first and two pick swaps to obtain that contract. That's a year longer than the guy they traded away. So just very bad asset management by the Rockets all the way around.
Jameson, we'll end with the Utah Jazz. Rudy Gobert, that's been a hot topic throughout the state of Utah. Does he get moved before the start of the season?
That's another guy. As good as he is on the court for what he's looking for contract-wise, I don't think you can really trade for him because you're not going to pay him a Supermax. He probably wants a Supermax, and he's very limited offensively. So I just don't see it happening. It doesn't make sense. It does not. Now, that's not saying he's a bad player or that he shouldn't get paid or whatever. No. To me, it's really a tough situation overall because you look at his game, you look at the way the NBA is going. Do you want to invest that kind of money into a guy that doesn't necessarily fit or that doesn't make that big of a difference towards your team? Don't think so. At the end of the day, Rudy Gobert's been on the Jazz several years now, and they have not gotten past the second round. You cannot supermax a guy with those are situations and stipulations. There's just no way.
Jameson Welsh, you get a basketballnews.com, our guest right now. Jameson, I always look forward to the conversations. I know it's going to be a very crazy week. We'll have to see if maybe we can catch up again later on in the week. There's going to be a lot of player movement, I believe, over the next 48 hours.
I agree 100%.
Jameson, before I let you go, please let the listeners know where they can find more of your work at, of course, basketballnews.com.
Yes, basketballnews.com. We have a live draft, live free agency shows coming this week, as well as other articles and pods as well. We're on the postcast with James Posey. We just dropped the podcast with Tina Thompson last week, which was really cool. ESPN 1100 out here in Vegas. ESPN, I want to say it's 1480 in Nebraska. And, of course, your show.
Look forward to it every week. Jameson, great stuff as always. I appreciate the time. We'll do it again soon.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me as always.
We're going to break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return right here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Let's step away from the national sports scene. Let's talk local sports. I know there's not a lot to talk about right now. We don't have anything happening. In fact, we only had one team that got to start the 2020 winter sports season. That was Carbon Swimming. That was it. Nobody else got to even start the season before we got the mandate that was released. Carbon, the Lady Dinos, looking for their third consecutive state championship. They started off well, started off the season beautifully, picked up two wins and two meets. We're going to talk about that. We'll also talk about what lies ahead with Carbon Swim coach right now, Allie Chamberlain, who is joining us over the phone. Coach, as always, a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Coach, it's always fun to talk about the swim program, and I know that going into this year, extremely high expectations. The girls' squad is looking for their third consecutive state championship, and before all high school athletics were stopped due to COVID concerns, this team was performing very, very well, to say the least.
Yes.
If you go back and you look at the way the team had performed over the first two meets, Coach, what was your assessment of it?
Right where I want them to be. We weren't, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of, like, best times per se. We definitely had our share. We had some great ones. But as a whole, I like them to be pretty close to their best times. Definitely not beating their best times at this stage. When they are, it's like, you know, you're going to have a good season. But we were right on our state times from last year. So to me, that's a really good start.
And as far as the competition that you guys went toe-to-toe with, Coach, I mean, at the Richfield Invitational, it kind of gave you a little bit larger sample size. I mean, if you break down the two meets, which one in your eyes was more impressive?
Definitely the Richfield Invitational. We just had a little bit more competition there.
Obviously, traveling and going up against loads of competition, it's nothing new for this team. I mean, this is a squad that's performed well, and we can talk about some girls individually in just a moment. But, Coach, we can't forget about the boys, because while the girls have had so much success, it seems like the guys' program, they've been close to breaking through themselves.
Yes, my team doubled with guys this year, so that's always really exciting. We see more kids wanting to come out for the sport. And then we do have, you know, same ones from last year that are coming back really strong. So they're at a good start this year.
Yeah, they did, especially Gabe Ibanez. I mean, this is a kid that was really performing well. I mean, he had won almost every event that he had participated in, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So not only did he win all his events, but he also is, you know, breaking his times from last year already at this point in the season. That's pretty tremendous.
Yeah, no question. No question. So, Coach, when you look at other performers on the guy's side, who else had caught your attention early on?
Nathan Engar. We saw him drop in quite a bit of time this early, which is great. He just came out of a good, successful cross-country season. Boyd Bradford, same cross-country season. Plus, he was a state champion, I believe, for mountain biking. And then my own son, Camden Chamberlain. So those are our really four solids that are doing amazing. But we have some new ones that are, you know, coming through, and we'll see how far they get.
If we look at the girls' side of the pool, a lot of familiar names, a lot of girls that were a part of the state championship squad last year, Coach. You were receiving some really solid performances all the way around. Who were some of the girls that you were just really, really, I guess we could use the word blown away with, because, again, the expectations were so high to begin with.
You know, honestly, all these freshmen coming in, I can say that. They are a strong team. And they're going to be unstoppable, really. I mean, my own daughter, she's definitely, her times, I knew that, you know, I knew kind of where she'd be sitting at, but she's done above and beyond where I thought she'd be even, you know, winning a few of her races. And then we've got like five or six other ones that are coming through that are just, it is crazy. I mean, you just go, dang, this is going to be a good group of girls right here.
There's no doubt. There's no doubt. And, Coach, going back to some of the big performers that we had over the last couple of weeks, I mean, the relay teams have done beautifully as well for the girls.
Yes, yes, for sure. The relay teams have been awesome. You know, you see a lot of the same names all the time. And you don't get to see as much of, like, the Nicole Swayzes, and she worked so hard. The times are great. She's coming along nicely this year. And she'll make an impact on some of those relays again. You know, we lost a couple people, so we need to fill a couple slots there. She'll be a force to be reckoned with, I feel like, this year.
Coach, let's jump ahead to where we were at. I know that there was a lot of concern going into the season about getting through winter sports with the COVID positive test kind of spiking. And so I have to ask you, what was it like preparing for the season following those guidelines that have been put in front of you?
I mean, it's hard, but we're not the only ones dealing with this. The whole world is. So you just put one step in front of the, you know, one foot in front of the other and go with what the mandates have been given and just make the best of what you have. I mean, do we like wearing masks? No, not really. But, you know, if that means we get to have a season, then that's what I'll do for my kids. I think we have a benefit in winter sports as far as we have the chlorine and our sports done in chlorine. So that helps us out a little as far as transmission rates. But still, you know, we got to go with whatever else is going out there and what the governor and Utah High School Athletics Association has given us. We have to go with those guidelines and we just make the best of them.
Again, Coach Allie Chamberlain of the Carbon Dino Swim Squad, our guest right now as we're talking about the swim season. So, Coach, you guys start off beautifully. The girls get a win in their first meet and then a win at the Richfield Invitational, and then the season is stopped. And so what has it been like for you as a coach? I mean, I would assume you can't have any contact with either team.
No, I don't have any contact. They're able to, you know, the pool's still open, so I guess if they choose to lap swim, that's on them. But I can have no contact with them. I can't expect them to do those things or anything of that nature. But I just hope and pray that a lot of them are using the facilities that we have, as well as the weight rooms and anything they can just to try to keep that what we've gained throughout this, the beginning of this year, to kind of keep that solid going forward.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing. I mean, it's almost like a Thanksgiving or a Christmas moratorium. I don't quite understand the logic of coaches not being able to speak with their kids, at least putting them, you know, on a certain routine to continue to prepare for what we hope will resume in, you know, November 23rd or November 24th. But nonetheless, Coach, what have you done to kind of, I guess, keep the team afloat? Even though you can't talk with the kids, I'm sure that your job isn't done.
No, I mean, we're still trying to prepare workouts for when we are being able to come back to the pool and, you know, prepare for something down the future and just hope that we're able to make it there. And if nothing else, like maybe an extension to our season or, you know, something, just so these kids can have something. It would be unfortunate for them to cancel the entire winter sports season, I feel like.
No doubt. And so I'll ask the question, Coach, have you gotten any vibe or any feeling as to we will be just fine and we will be able to resume on November 23rd?
I mean, I go forth with the feeling of, you know, positivity. So just be positive and, like, we're going to get this. It's going to be a go. We're going to be able to have a season and hope that it actually works out. I don't want to focus too much on the negative. That kind of doesn't really do us a lot of good. And, you know, you just kind of deal with what we're going to be handed. We didn't think this was going to come down. So, you know, we'll get through this next 2 weeks and then focus on what's ahead of us then.
Yeah, Coach, I had mentioned the girls and the expectations coming in, going for that third state championship. You see the banners that hang up at the Desert Wave Pool. It does bring a little bit of expectation. They seem to have been handling the pressure well. I mean, I'm sure once they heard that this season was going to be stopped momentarily, it's probably heartbreaking for these girls.
It's so heartbreaking, especially our seniors. You know, we have senior Haley Powell and Sophie Crompton and Nicole Swayze, and those are just a few of them to name. And it's they're struggling. You know, this is their last season that they're going to be able to perform, and they really want to be there, and they really want to, you know, make a run to that three-peat. And all we can do is just hope that we can get there because they deserve that.
Coach, we can end with this. Once the now that we know we've lost a couple of weeks at least, what's next for the team? Do you just pick up the schedule where it would have been once we resume, or do you have to rework things?
I will pick up my schedule the where it was. I will take. I think I had to cancel either 4 or 5 meets because of this. So I'll try to reschedule a couple of those. The one that's going to be hard is a big invitational we usually go to in Cedar City. It'll be hard to make up that. We always perform well there. But we'll just, you know, do the best we can, try to reschedule what we can and fit it into whatever timeline they give us. Like I said, I really hope that they can extend our season a bit. But we just got to kind of play that by ear.
Well, Coach, it's always good to chat with you. Congratulations on the great start to the season. Hopefully we'll be talking about actual swimming results here relatively soon, but it is always fun to chat with you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Again, Coach Allie Chamberlain taking out the time to join us on the show. Hopefully we'll get the winter sports season back. I think we should hear some good news. I hope it's good news coming up this weekend. We're going to break one last time. We'll come back, put the final touches on this edition of Drive Time Sports right after this.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750 with Jordan Buscarini.
They're running down a dream that never would come to me. Running down a dream.
Close out this edition of Drive Time Sports. Let's move over to the NFL. Here we have a matchup tonight. I think it's interesting. We get the Vikings and the Bears. Two teams that I just view on opposite ends of the spectrum. Again, Minnesota playing very well as of late. Dalvin Cook, one of the hottest players, we should say, in the NFL right now. The Vikings, they've won 2 straight. They're at 3-5. The Bears, I still view them as pretenders. They've lost 3 consecutive games now. They're sitting at 5-4. And Travis, when you look at the NFC playoff picture tonight's game, it's really that important. It's going to speak volumes for the remaining 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not high on the Bears at all. The Vikings are a team that they're starting to play better football. So it's an important game, like you said, for both teams if they want to continue to fight for one of those last playoff spots.
It is important because when you look at the way the NFC playoff picture is put together, a lot of teams are going to be rooting for Minnesota tonight, including Tampa Bay and I believe every team of the NFC West. Because with Chicago on the outside looking in, the 7 playoff spots in the NFC, they're accounted for right now. You get 1 out of the NFC East, Green Bay, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and then you have 3 teams in the NFC West, the Cardinals, Rams, and Seahawks. If Minnesota was to get a win tonight, that means that all 3 teams in the NFC West would have a 2-game cushion in the loss column over the Bears. And to take it one step further, the Buccaneers, who do not have the tiebreaker with Chicago, would actually gain a game there as well. So, again, there is a lot riding on tonight's contest as far as the playoff picture is concerned. You'd hate to say that the playoff picture is set 6 weeks to go in the season because a lot can happen. I mean, just look at what's going on in New Orleans right now with Drew Brees going down. But again, tonight's game, it really is that important. Outside of that, news out of the NBA, it started off hot today. We had a lot of news. Since, it's kind of sizzled just a little bit. Big winners today. Who's the big winners?
Phoenix. Phoenix gets Chris Paul. You pair him in the backcourt, Devin Booker with DeAndre Ayton. The Suns were the hottest team in the bubble going 8-0. I think for the Suns, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to be a playoff team. I mean, adding Chris Paul and what he did with Oklahoma City last year, the leadership and the group of guys that he had, and, you know, took him on a little playoff run, he's going to do the same for the Suns.
I think it's a team that gets into the playoffs regardless. Again, they were the hottest team of the bubble. Monty Williams is a great coach. They got things moving in the right direction. And I'll tell you the other reason why I like it. You have to mention Monty Williams because Chris Paul was a legitimate MVP candidate one time in his career. Got to go back to 2008 was the year Kobe Bryant won the MVP. Chris Paul was second. He actually garnered some first-place votes. Who was his coach? Monty Williams. It just works. I think it works. I do. I know it's a lot of money, but look, Phoenix is a team that's been on the outside looking into big moves for a while. I wanted to see a splash. I don't think they give up a ton. Kelly Oubre's a fine player, but at $15 million, it's an expiring deal, which Oklahoma City really wants. Ricky Rubio, he is what he is at this stage. He's no Chris Paul. We know this. If CP3 can play even remotely close to what we saw in the playoffs last year, I think Phoenix becomes a top six team in the NBA, or in the Western Conference. Top six, I believe.
And I talked about this a week ago, that this trade might happen. What would the Thunder do? I kind of was on the fence. Maybe they buy out Ricky Rubio, so we'll see. But yeah, I like it for the Suns.
It's hard to buy out Rubio. He's got 2 years left on his deal.
Yeah, he's probably stuck there so for 1 year.
Yeah, you're probably stuck with him for at least a year. Now there's talk that maybe Danny Green's on his way to Phoenix, and so OKC could bypass that contract. I don't know how that's going to work out. Adrian Wojnarowski, who's top in the game, was talking about the Laker-Thunder deal possibly involving a third team, which would be Phoenix sending Danny Green to Phoenix. I know that Oklahoma City would absolutely love that. You get out of the $15 million that Danny Green is owed. But I believe over the next 72 hours, we're going to see a lot more moves. A lot more. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, I think the next maybe domino to fall might be Harden or Westbrook.
You're not moving Westbrook. It's not happening.
Harden's probably easier.
No, there's no doubt he's easier. There's no doubt.
But no one wants that contract with Westbrook, and I know he's not going to be happy there. But, yeah, Harden, Philadelphia makes the most sense. I know he wants to go to Brooklyn. That won't work in Brooklyn. But I think Philadelphia is a perfect fit for Harden.
Plus, he can rejoin Daryl Morey, yeah, which I know is those two love each other. There's been a great connection there. Out of time of the show today. We'll be back to do it again tomorrow. He's Travis Anderson. I'm Jordan Buscarini. Be safe. We are out.